Father God, we're here before you to just take a time out to recognize you, to think about you, to think about your commandment, your greatest commandment, first and foremost, to love you with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and love others as we love ourselves. And today, Lord, we want to consider the Great Commission in a further way. Would you please spur us on, strengthen us, encourage us, challenge us. May we leave today with even more of a passion of love for you, love for others, and sharing the gospel, the only truth that really is going to change anything in this broken world. Thank you for that good news. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was reminded, I'm a mission, vision, values guy, so I was reminded of the purpose of this class, and it said this. It says, everyone needs help periodically, especially in the midst of painful circumstances and struggles with sin. This class is for those who want to develop their helping skills in order to walk alongside others, helping them find hope and help in Jesus. So that's why we're here today. That's what we're talking about. And this this is not a biblical counseling class, but I wanted to highlight, I think everybody got one of these coming in. I just want to talk about this a little bit, because this, for me, is a nice, simple picture that kind of shows where does counseling fit in, what's normal discipleship, what's life just within our life groups, what's just someone coming to church. You know, where do we fit in with this? So I'd like to just talk through this for a few minutes, but I'm going to ask for some help, some people that have their Bible with them. Would someone please be willing to read Ephesians 4, 11 to 16? This is foundational, I think, to the whole idea of this continuum. This is a discipleship continuum that's going to illustrate everything from no big deal, I'm having coffee with a friend to talk about, I'm kind of feeling bummed out today, all the way to an extreme that, like, my friend is stuck in sin and I need the church to engage and help this person. So, Gwendolyn, would you please? Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16.
It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
So we all have a part. I mean, the doctrine would be called the doctrine of progressive sanctification. That's what we're talking about. We're all in this process. Nobody arrives till glory, but we need each other. So, like, when you hear speaking truth in love, what comes to mind? I know for me, a lot of years, I would say, like, you know, I see that problem or sin, but number one, who am I to say anything? I mean, because I know I've got these problems too. I mean, who am I to bring that up? Or it could be the opposite extreme, like, wow, I see your five sins and I'm going to drill you, you know? And now I err more on that, sadly. But, you know, somewhere there's a godly balance in there. That Jesus didn't do either one of those. But what do you think of when you hear truth and love, speaking truth and love to one another? I mean, I hear in that verse God talking about strengthening the body, and we need each other, and we need to help each other. And if we don't, we're going to be weak. The church will be weak. We have to do this for each other. And this is obeying the Great Commission. So this is it. This is where, and I'm preaching to the choir today, clearly, because anybody that's in this class, I know a number of you, you're already active disciple makers. And I know that. So this is not something that's new to you. You're active in it. You're wanting to grow in it, or you wouldn't come to a class like this. So this is definitely the choir I'm looking at. But Anyways, when you hear speaking truth in love, what honestly comes to mind?
Deb? Jesus, meekness, power, and control.
And wasn't he the master of questions? I mean, he got to see the heart. We don't get to see the heart. We try to. And we're going to talk about the heart a lot today. But he was the master. So, I mean, he did it with loving questions, but boy, they were bullseye. He was throwing darts, wasn't he? Right to the heart. He knew exactly what was going on. You're right. You don't have any husbands. He did get confronted sometimes. But boy, what did he do with the Pharisees? He got really up in their grill. You know, so again, isn't that a teaching lesson for us to, by God's Spirit, to guide us on when do we see a Pharisee that we've really got to get firm and exhort strongly, and when do we see somebody who's just really hurting and they don't know what to do? And that's what we're talking about today. So I'm going to highlight just a couple things on here because I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I encourage you to look at it later. So it's a continuum. So as you can tell, as you start on the left-hand side of the page, it even says training and care from intentional to intensive. So the great thing about the church is God created the church to deal with all of this within the context of the local church. We do not need to send someone down the street with what we can do among us as believers by the truth of God's word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can go all the way down this continuum. So the first continuum is just basically called intentional. And you can see on the very bottom, the primary, it's showing the primary context of where this can happen within our church. So there's a lot there on that red bottom graph where you're seeing life group and Bible study. There's a lot of intentional discipleship. You're all active with this. And sometimes it moves from intentional to directive. Sometimes we're just discipling someone intentionally, we're pouring into that person, and all of a sudden they get stuck. I call it the eddy. We're all in this discipleship river, but there's times we all get stuck in the eddy and we don't know how to get out. We're just flat out stuck. And that's the time that the body of Christ needs to paddle in there and help that person get turned around and back into the discipleship river. So that would be the directive. That's when we need to start being a little bit more forward with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if that doesn't work, that comes into corrective then. That would be the next stage. That's when it's intentionally like, wow, they're stuck and they need to be corrected. They may not even know they need to be corrected. But if I don't say anything, I'm not loving them. I'm really being selfish. That's the truth of it. And then you get into intensive, and you can see then, and I'm not sure where this line in context actually goes from life group to other discipleship groups, the formal counseling, but somewhere there's a line there. And it's probably when each person in the illustration here says, you know what, I could use some help. So in other words, you could see there's a life group member. We're just members in life group together and talking and discipling each other. You got an advocate. An advocate is someone that's going to be a little bit more of a friend for that person, possibly even in a formal counseling sense, that's going to walk with that person through counseling. And you got a life group leader. So a lot can be done. You can see almost a third, if not a half, of normal discipleship can be done within the context of our life groups here at church. But then there's times where the life group leader says, you know, I don't know what to do with this. I need help. So that's where the church comes in, and you start to enter into more of a formal counseling role. Cameron and I are going to do a little role playing, which will be fun a little bit later. Is Cameron still here? I hope he. Thank you, Robert, for offering. There he is. We're going to do a little role playing and bring this really practical and illustrate in the context of chapter 10 and 11 that we looked at side by side how to do this and maybe how not to do it. So we're going to have fun with that in a little bit. So there are times, and praise God, we have that. We've got a SWAT team and growing SWAT team of trained and equipped, confident biblical counselors within our church that are able and ready to engage in a formal discipleship setting. I'm not even sure I like the word biblical counseling. I really think of it as intensive discipleship. And then ultimately, sometimes people, even in a formal counseling sense, they get stuck and they're not willing to change their heart. God has to change their heart, but they have to be willing. So sometimes we've got actually one of these, in my opinion, going right now, where this guy is just absolutely stuck in sin, and he is not willing to look at his own heart. He is totally still, for the most part, really just blaming somebody else. So he's stuck. So what do you do with that? Well, that's where the God-ordained power of the elders within the church kick in. That's church restoration. Praise God, our church does that. Because if that's not done over here, these kind of all wobble. Like when I'm in a formal counseling room and I see that that person's not willing to change and they're stuck in sin, I am so thankful I can hand the baton to the elders. And that's where it's not like they have all the answers necessarily, but that's God's power and his ordained way of dealing with those kind of sins. So this deals with sins all the way across the spectrum. Questions on this? Comments? Is this helpful to see on a continuum? This is our church. Praise God. Any other thoughts before I move on?
Mike, that would be something, correct, and I know you'll correct me if I'm wrong, so we'll go over that, but this is more directed towards believers, too. I mean, if we have somebody that's not a believer, it's not really the process, correct?
Thank you for mentioning that. I was just at Faith Church a couple weeks ago in Lafayette, specifically to learn how they do community-based evangelistic counseling, and it was really cool. So actually almost about a half of their church growth comes through their counseling ministry to the community. So how are they doing that? I mean, basically they use the same counselors as we would in terms of our church dealing with believers, but those counselors then are equipped and trained to share the gospel in an evangelistic way. I mean, we're sharing the gospel all times, but really the only counsel, their greatest problem is what? It's not their broken job or their depression. What's their greatest? Their sin, and they need Christ. So, I mean, it would be very unloving, and someday, I mean, it's already happening, but a community-wide, people come in here looking for help, it would be very unloving to go right to, say, their depression, not that we ignore that. But it'd be very unloving to not say, you've got a bigger problem, my friend, and share the gospel. It's really stretched me, honestly. I've had to look at my own heart, and I'm like, I thought I was stronger in evangelism. I mean, and I'm not. So that's something I'm really trying to grow in right now. And what tools do you use? It's a different set of tool belt, I think, because you're really needing to balance. Okay, I need to hear this person. They need to be loved. They need to know that we care about them. But then they need to know that we care about you enough to tell you the truth. Your problem is not A, it's you need a savior. And you have a sin problem. So, interesting enough, what they do is they'll keep meeting with the person as long as they'll come back. But what happens is either the person, God changes that person in the context of the counseling room and you get new believers, or sooner or later, like, eh, this isn't what I want, and they run. So, but it's still loving. It's their choice to leave the room, not us pushing them out. Thank you for asking that. So, did anybody actually read chapter 10 and 11? Nancy, I knew Nancy would. She's the model student. So then I'm going to ask Nancy. So I'm looking for just a couple statements that Ed Welch said that just grabbed you. Like I've got a number outlined on mine and highlighted and checked. And anything, we're talking about seeing the good, enjoying one another, you know, the positive. I'm going to try to do that when we role play with Cam.
Where it talks about Paul could see the Spirit working in them, and he could see the good in them, and he enjoyed that part of them while he's working with them. Also, also I have, just keep heading towards the heart. It is
yeah.
a repository for our emotional life, and good comes from its springs. Keep looking until you see the good, and you will see it.
I knew you would have the right answer. That was exactly what I highlighted and what I want to emphasize. So when you think of the word heart, we're going to talk about the heart, because it's all going towards the heart. And if we're going to disciple someone, if we're going to do it well, we have to get to the heart level. And people don't share our hearts naturally. Isn't that true? You'd think that would be more natural, but aren't we all just kind of guarded or afraid, or boy, I can't put that out there, because if I tell the church that, I'm not even going to, they're going to push me out. I'll tell you what, that's one of the most amazing things I watch in the counseling room. People afraid, like I just had one where this lady's been holding on to feeling guilty about an abortion for probably 20 years. And it's just locked her up. I mean, she's saved, born again Christian, but she wasn't growing because she was hanging on to that so strongly in fear that she was afraid to tell anybody. So she put that out there. It was like all of a sudden the dam just broke, you know, and she received the opposite. She received the church just loving on her. And she's like, all of a sudden I'm free and I have all these people loving on me. And God showed me that this, I can be forgiven and healed. And so, but isn't that sad? I think that happens a lot. Happens a lot in the church. So if we stick with trying to stick with, I should probably write bigger. So trying to stick with biblical terms, I would say, in my simple mind, we could classify the inner man and the outer man. And some of you are going to recognize what I'm going to draw up here, because some of you could draw this better than I could right now, because you've been active with it. But so the inner man, and the Bible uses the word heart many, many, many times. So when you think of the word heart, what comes to mind? Mind and soul, spirit. Good.
Desires.
Inner desires. Some may say wants, passions, loves. What else?
It's really where you highly define who the true person is, what their true personality, whatever. It's really who they are.
Yeah. Yeah, this is really our true self. This is really our true self. And so let's look at a couple scriptures. I'm going to ask for some help again. If someone would be willing to grab Jeremiah 17:9. Any takers for that? Thank you, Ben. Mark chapter 7, 21 to 23. Anybody willing to grab that, please? Thank you, Jen. Those are just a couple verses, but and when you get there, if you would, go ahead and read it out loud, please.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?
So that inner man, left alone, that heart is wicked. And I would like to propose that what we're talking about that overarches all of this, and Ed Welch hits on it, is really what we're talking about is a worship issue. We are creatures made to worship God, but this heart is deceitful and wants to worship what the Bible would call idols. John Calvin called our hearts an idol-making factory. Isn't that true? I mean, one minute I think I'm in a really good place, and all of a sudden I'm finding myself thinking about something like, and why am I doing this? What am I doing? I mean, sometimes it happens just so naturally and quick, and sometimes it's a sin I know about, and I choose to continue to do it. And then I'm feeling, ugh. But that heart's going to worship. It's going to worship something. Who had the mark? Thanks, Jen.
For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person.
So is that saying that it was my dad's fault from 20 years ago? Is it saying that it was the community I live in, the culture, the government says this is okay? No. Those are all externals. That's all outer. So that tree, and these are made to look like broken dry branches. The term, you may have heard the term used before, root to fruit. And what we're talking about right now is root issues. What is going on in my heart that's causing this fruit? Make sense? So, because I know Robert well and we're friends, I'm going to use him as an example. Actually, that wouldn't be fair. I'm going to use mine. Okay, you're all right. We'll do it together. So when this heart's taken over, like in mine, one of mine could be just withdrawal. So that's not loving. It's just a different form of anger. It's just the flip of the coin. So when this heart's ruling, it's not getting what it wants. And actually, by the way, these are not. We were given desires, right? Desires aren't bad. It's when it goes one tick too far and the heart demands it. Once the heart says, I have to have. For me to be happy and joy, I have to have. When it takes that one step too far, all of a sudden, we're worshiping something. So Mike didn't get his way, so, well, he'll just kind of withdraw and be an adult crybaby by himself. How about you, Robert? What would be an example? When you know this heart's ruling, how would I know that? What would I see in your life?
Oh, pride.
I'll join you in that. Yep. Yeah, I'm with you on that too. So that's something when when this heart starts to say, I've got to be right. And I'll sin to get it. I'll hurt someone. I'll sin against somebody. Just to prove that, if you start seeing that fruit in my life, when you start seeing that fruit in my life, you know that that's going on. So what do you do with that? What do most people do with that? If we saw Robert being prideful, knowing Gwendolyn, I believe she lovingly confronts him. I do believe that. Right? Yeah, and that's love. It's not comfortable. So we'd like you both to come up here this morning.
We're kind of talking about this, but we had an instance real quick that parenting, a lot of people in here are parents. I mean, she called me out. I was not parenting well at all. The pride was definitely coming out.
What was your heart saying inside when you probably didn't realize it in the moment, but when you think about it now, what did your heart want so bad?
To be right. I will be right.
Okay.
And nobody's going to tell me any different.
Okay.
Until she did. But really.
The Lord says.
But it's humbling. Yeah. But it was very much in love the way she did it. She could have done it a lot different way than she did.
But how did you do it? Teach us, because that's good. Because how to do that?
So, honestly?
Yeah.
So, she said, sit down over here.
Okay.
Very much lovingly, she never raised her voice, which she doesn't.
She probably knew that you needed direct, back to the directive. At that moment, it's like, if I don't get really up in his grill lovingly, he's not going to listen to me.
Yeah.
Would that be a fair statement?
Actually, I knew that I just needed to let him talk first. Because I knew if I got up, he'd be done. He'd shut down. You're not going to tell me what I'm doing right or wrong.
Listening. Isn't that hard? Especially in the emotions of the moment. Questions in advance that you guys discussed that, hey, ask me this if I'm... You can't go back to faith, honey. No.
I did. I told him, I said, now really, this is not about this. There's something else going on. What else is going on? And
you experienced that as love.
I did. It took me some time. It really, truly did.
Well, sometimes, you know, I identify with him less, by the way, that I'm going to go. No one's going to stop me. And sometimes I need a semi-truck to knock me off course to realize how wrong I was.
Yeah, I'm that way too. Yeah, the phrases I hate most when I look back at some of my problems, like people said, oh yeah, I saw that, but I knew that was going to happen. I'm like, why didn't you tell me? You know, I'm like, that person didn't love me, so I don't want to be that anymore. If I'm going to err today, I'd rather err on the truth side than not, and hopefully in love like you modeled, Gwendolyn. But that's hard, though. Isn't it hard to, like you just acknowledged that, you know, because she has one of these too. There was probably like, I don't know, he's hurting my kids and Mama Bear's coming out and I'm gonna put him in his place and show him how he's wrong. I'm making it up, I don't know that, but. Yeah, yeah, I know another Mama Bear that. So, and that's really hard in the moment too. So did that happen like right after? I mean, was that kind of like, oh, it just happened, honey, let's come in the other room?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so isn't that hard though for your own heart to prepare? Because you just said, I can't just come preaching at him, I gotta ask some questions. I need to let him talk.
Well, and some of this, it happened as soon as I walked into the house. So I didn't know everything else that was going on, so I was like, oh.
What is going on? Okay.
But, you know, just thankfully, some of these things that we've talked about many times came to mind, because otherwise I don't know that I would have known what to do.
Yeah, and that is a wonderful example of just normal mutual discipleship. Kara?
It's all about the coming with love. That is the main point of this all, is doing it in love.
Yeah.
Not in pride, not in pointing the finger. And I can say this because he does this very well with me, because I am the, and he'll ask questions and I just get, oh, it's just like I'm right. But I always know it is truly done in love. And that makes all the difference.
Yeah, so truth and love. Truth can be very painful, just direct without love. Actually, it's very sinful. I'm engaged as a mediator at a church in the region. I won't mention the name, but truth is dominating and love is not there. And I'll tell you what, they've got a really serious problem. Really serious problem. It's sad. It's really sad. So the truth of it is we've got this, I'm going to call it heat. We've got this heat, which is just the realities of life. Walking into a living room and there's yelling going on and like, what is going on? I mean, just the realities of the heat of life that we don't control that come at us. We don't get to control what comes at us, do we? No, but we do control how we respond. We control, that's our part. So I can be sinned against. And what's my natural tendency? Like, if Kara approached me wrongly, like in your example, then I'm kind of like, wait, yeah, but you, yeah, but, I mean, all the yeah buts are firing back. And, you know, so then this heart's ruling. And I'm like, well, wait a second, I got to prove that I'm right. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to prove that you're wrong. So I can sin. I can choose to sin, and that's the crazy cycle of this, isn't it? It's this crazy cycle. We get something that comes at us. God's using it as a divine appointment to change us to become more like Christ, and I choose to sin against it. So even if Gwendolyn didn't do it lovingly, but came at Robert with the, what are you doing? How dare you? And you're, you know, and he fires back, and all of a sudden we're in this cycle that just dies. And then most people just kind of shove that under the carpet and move on, but those don't move. They're still under that carpet. And some people know how to pull those out way back in instrumental times. Like, yeah, remember back when, and you did, yeah, that doesn't help. So this clearly is this crazy cycle that happens. So, you know, praise God, he knew we had this problem, and he knew he needed to come save it. And praise God that when this heart rules, and we all have it, it should be happening less and less if we're growing to become more like Christ. Excuse me. But when this heart decides to sin, to get its way, What's the way out from that? We're going right to the cross. And we're hanging on God's grace in confession. It's a conditional promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise that we can deal with that right here. And that may be a regular visit. I know it needs to be more for me. But that promise is truth and something that we can hang on to with strength and grace and an increased love of God that, oh, I'm back here again, you know. And we humanly start saying, well, I can't do that. He's not going to be able to forgive me. I mean, I did it again. But that truth would say he welcomes us back all the time. So he also knew that though we needed... So that tree is ugly. This tree, if we're worshiping God like we're created to do, this tree is going to look beautiful, regardless of the heat, no matter what the circumstance in our life, no matter how broken, how sinful, how frustrating. This can be our life. Why? Because we have the power of the cross, and we also have a few other resources. And if someone, again, could pick up Hebrews 3, Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13. And somebody else, Psalm 119, verse 11. And lastly, Galatians 4, 6, chapter 4, verse 6. God says, okay, you bozos, you need help to do this. First and foremost, you need my son as your Lord and Savior. But once you have that, my children, I'm going to give you resources to accomplish this because you won't be able to do it yourself. Anybody have those three? Okay, please.
I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
So he's given us the word, Because otherwise, good night. If us humans had to figure out this stuff with our own opinions and thinking, this would get really bad. We have a source of truth to go to, the Word of God. 100% truth. It will guide us in everything. It's sufficient to deal with every single problem we have in our life. And who else? Anybody else have the other two? Yeah, so and then the last one, please. Galatians, somebody have that one? Galatians 4:6.
And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
So God's given us His Word, He's given us the power of the Spirit, and He's given us the church, the one another's, to pull this off. And we need all three. We try to take any of these out. And I see a lot of people, even good, godly people, that rely on the Word and the Holy Spirit, but they're hesitant to bring their problems to the church. I would say in my experience with the ministry that I do, this is the part that doesn't happen. And boy, when that happens and it clicks for people, they're like, oh, wow, I see. I feel the strength, I've been strengthened, I can strengthen others, this is the way God created it. So this is really powerful. We have a church of disciple makers, praise God. So we have a culture that's already built around this. But so if we allow these resources to dominate our, rule our life, and we have the good heart then that we've been given here, so the power to not sin we received when we became born again. So when this heart rules and this heart worships God, what's going to show up? What kind of fruit's going to show up here? Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Yeah, so this can be our life regardless of how bad this is. You believe that? That doesn't that really hit the crux of the heart right there? Do I believe that? Or do I believe my situation is different? And no, Mike, you don't understand. This and this happened. But we all deal with this in just different ways. We all have heat. We're in a broken world, Genesis 3. We're in a fallen world that we have to live in by design. So He can show up and get glory. And people can see this happening right in the crucible of terrible sin, whether it's always sin. The problem's always sin since Genesis 3. Is it my sin that I'm sinning against? Am I sinning or am I being sinned against? And sometimes, frankly, in this broken world, it's how do I respond with the gospel truth and see God's fruit even when I'm being sinned against? Because doesn't that fight everything in us, our own sinful nature that just wants to fight that and judge that? And I want to get the judicial hammer out and and hammer.
You're on the right side of the board. You're doing it all with self. You know, you're
yeah.
You think that you can take care of it.
And so often, isn't that one of our huge idols? I mean, good night. That prideful, I deserve, I am, I want to be worshipped. I want to worship myself. I want others to worship me. That sin comes out.
Well, I kind of meant more like self-reliance, like you can handle.
Oh, our own resources, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I can do this. Just strap up and do it. The American way, yeah. You can do this. The power within, and we need to build your self-esteem so you can accomplish this. And
the power of one.
Power of one. Okay. All right, so Cameron's going to join me, and we are going to have some fun for a couple minutes. So again, this is not in the context of a formal counseling. Please keep that in mind. This is a friend, and I'm gonna, these case examples come from the ACBC training. So for those that are in training to do the certification, this is actually a case example that the exam uses. We're gonna role play it. I'm gonna read just a couple sentences that will give you the specifics on who Cameron's gonna role play. But this is not formal counseling. This is like Gwendolyn and Robert's example. This is just life, and this is a friend that just asked to meet with me. So please keep in that mind, because this is not formal counseling where I've got 10 times to meet with him and I have all this time to listen really, really well and make sure I get to hear his heart. This is just one snippet. I got, you know, a couple minutes over coffee with, his name is Eric. So Eric is a Eric is a 20-year-old believer, and he's been struggling with pornography for the last 3 years. Before that time, he knew that pornography existed, but had never seen it because his parents carefully monitored all the technology in their home. Eric discovered porn on a trip out of town when some of his friends from high school showed it to him on their phones. Since then, Eric has frequently looked at pornography. The problems became worse when he moved to college and had unfettered access to the internet on his laptop computer. Several weeks ago, Eric became convinced that as a Christian, he must begin to deal aggressively with this sin. He did the hardest thing he had ever done and told his dad about the problem. Eric's dad loves his son and wants to help him, but he has no idea what to do with a problem like this. So Eric's asked to meet with me and have coffee.